for Robbie Morris.
I'd like for you to bow your head for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In the last few moments, if God hasn't spoke to you, I don't know what's wrong with you. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. He's calling your name. Lord, help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands. And how many will die before you go? I'm going to ask you before we preach this morning. Say, preacher, pray for me. God's been speaking to me this week. Not just about giving, but about going. Preacher, would you pray for me? God bless your heart. God bless your hearts. Bless your hearts. Say, preacher, I believe God's called me about to do something special. Maybe God's called me into ministry as a man to the mission field. Preacher, will you pray for me today? I need to do business with God. God's dealing with folks today. Early this morning, so laid there praying. I said, Lord, please, the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. What will you do? What will we do? Hey, listen, honestly, God dealt with your heart. Won't you just come on to an altar now?
Yeah.
Won't you just come on to an altar
That's
now?
Right. That's right. Just come.
We can preach in a little while.
That's right.
Won't you just come on to an altar now?
Amen.
Folks are coming. Hey, Mom and Dad, if it's your kids, I think I'd be at an altar with them. Saying, Lord, use mine. Use mine. Miss Debbie, would you play us a verse or two of an invitation, please? Folks are coming to an altar to do business with God. You say, what's missions conference? What do you think missions conference is all about? There's more hands than this raised today. God's been dealing with you. Why don't you just come on? Maybe you ought to come today. Mom and Dad said, here's my kids. Take mine. Here's my life. Take mine. Some young people on this altar. Maybe some of you older folks ought to come by and put your hand on their shoulder and say, God, use them. You know what my prayer's always been when God gives me an opportunity and some of these young people, we love them. It's, Lord, greater things than these shall they do. God's allowed me to do some wondrous things. But I pray greater things than these they shall do. Listen, Mom and Dad, it takes as much for you to let them go as for them to go. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Folks are still praying. God's not done yet. Young people, you need to sit down with your mom and dad and you say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, I just felt like that needed to be done, Lord. Lord, the quietness of this hour, may you do something unusual in our lives, Father, please. And I pray, Father, now you just work and move and do what only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start there, and I'll keep your Bible open. We are going to be looking at several verses of Scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I knew that didn't look right. Sorry, it's the second mistake I made this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, I want you to take this verse and keep it in mind, and then we're going all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. We'll go from there to Hebrews and all the way through the Bible, so just hang on, amen. He said in 2 Corinthians 1, he says in verse number, back up in verse number 20, he said, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you is you in Christ, hath anointed us, is God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Hey, folks, listen. The key to this whole thing is when the Spirit of God speaks. When the Spirit of God speaks, you must do what God tells you to do. The Spirit of God speaks, you must do. I'm telling you today, folks, and I can't get away from it today, and I may not get anywhere farther, but our pews and our churches are filled with countless people that one time in their life said God called them to do something. What they have done in their life is they've let the world and the flesh and the devil come in, and they've become callous to the Spirit of God. And that voice that one time said, "This is what I want you to do," and you were like Samuel in days of old, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And you were obedient to that Spirit. And you did what God told you to do. But then all of a sudden the busyness of life and the busyness of getting ahead and having a career and having a job, and you became callous to that Spirit. Amen. David sang the song, "The Spirit of the Lord's in this place." That's what's wrong with you today. The Spirit of the Lord's in this place, and it's speaking to you, and it's calling your name, and you don't want to be obedient to that Spirit. Hey, folks, listen. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. You're there in 2 Corinthians over just a couple books to Ephesians chapter number 1. And in verse number 13, hey, this thing about missions has got to become personal. The title of the message today is Missions. It must be personal. Hey, folks, listen. And this first step in all this thing of missions, it's obedience to the Spirit of God. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 1, chapter 13, or chapter 1, verse 13, he said, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Aren't you glad you're saved today? Amen. Hey, listen, I'm like the old black preacher said, I'm so saved today, I can swing out over hell on the greasy grapevine, stick my foot in the devil's eye. I'm saved, amen. Hey, listen, I'm glad to know I'm on my way to heaven, amen. But something happened on May the 20th, 1972, when a 16-year-old boy walked the aisle of West Milford Baptist Church and gave his life to Jesus Christ. I didn't just get a home in heaven. I didn't just get an eternal future. I got a grand and glorious presence now. And what I have now is the Holy Spirit of God that lives in me, amen. What, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Something happened to you the night you got saved. If you truly got born again, washed in the blood, and got your sins forgiven, the Holy Spirit of God moved in, amen. And you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. He didn't give that to you just to bring conviction on your life. He gave it to you so that Spirit of God can lead you, amen.
And you need to be obedient to that spirit. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, it's obedience to the Spirit of God. Hey, I believe God's trying to call some people to do a work for God, and your problem is you're bucking against the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 18, you know the verse, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with what? He didn't say be filled with good works. He didn't say be filled with a lot of activities. He didn't say be filled with a lot of doing this and doing that. He said be filled with the Spirit. Hey, folks, young people, you listen to me. That's why cell phones are so prevalent today. That's why the internet's so everywhere in the world today. It's so that the devil can infiltrate your life with the things of the world. And when the sin begins to creep in, the Spirit of God you got when you got saved is grieved. It is hindered. And he said, and that's why he said we're to get rid of the sin of our life. Why? So we can be filled with the Spirit of God, so that you can run around and slap people in the head and heal them, so you can speak in some unknown tongue? No! So you can be a witness for God. Amen. Acts 1:8 says, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hey, listen, we're Baptists. Amen. We're Bible believers. There's not a second blessing. Amen. I told somebody one time, there's a second one, don't give it to me because the first one's about ready to kill me. Amen. Hello? Listen, there's not a second blessing. There's not another endowment from on high. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise the day you got saved. And when you keep your life from sin, the Holy Spirit of God has control. And you can be a witness and a testimony for God, not just here, but to the uttermost parts of the world. Yeah. It's got to become personal. You're sealed with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. And I go to Acts 1:8. I almost got ahead of myself. Amen. Go to Acts 1:8. I may not get anywhere today, but that's all right. I'm going to have fun trying to get there. Acts 1:8. I talked to you about it and quoted the verse. But ye, listen, this thing, underline this verse. He said in verse 8, but ye what? He didn't say you might. You could. When you got the Holy Spirit of God, ye shall. I wonder how many people today are waiting because we've been disobedient to the Spirit of God. I'll never forget standing in a preacher's fellowship one day and a missionary that I knew, Brother Steve, this went blank. Went to Africa, honey. Steve. I'll come up with it in a minute, amen. I have senior moments, amen. They're becoming blocks of time in my life, amen. But it's Richards, Brother Steve Richards. Brother Steve Richards, when Brother Steve got called to preach, he lived in Harrisville, West Virginia, back in the middle of nowhere, and on a farm, and he went off to Bible college, and people said, and he went back to Harrisville, started church, and people said, you know, bless Brother Steve Richards' heart, he's no backwoods hillbilly from nowhere, said he can just do what he can for God. He was down there starting that church in Harrisville, West Virginia, when God got a hold of his heart and said, I want you to go to the mission field. And in less than 2 years, Steve Richards raised his deputation and went to Zambia, Africa. He started down through the Zambezi Valley of Zambia, Africa, just an old hillbilly from West Virginia, and just started preaching the gospel. When he got back on after his first term of 3 years, he had started 116 preaching stations in the Zambezi Valley of Africa. He'd started a church in Livingston, Africa, there in Zambia, Africa, and which would be the home church, and from there started preaching stations. He'd go buy bags of rice, start down through that valley, passing out rice, telling people about Jesus Christ, And he came back and he was talking about what God had done. And he went back on the second term. And I mean, after the second term, they'd started 27 churches in the Zambezi Valley out of those preaching stations and raised up nationals. He comes back and he gets ready to go back. And we're in a pastor's fellowship. And they're talking about the tragic event that Steve Richards had just went back to the field. And on Sunday morning, the first Sunday back in Zambia, Africa, headed to the church to preach his first service back after furlough, had a massive heart attack and died. And they're talking about the tragedy of this man's life being taken so quickly. And a preacher's standing over here, Brother Ballard, and he said, boy, I sure missed that one. And I looked at him. I said, what did you just say? He said, Steve Richards came to our church on deputation. And he said, as sure as I'm standing here, God told me to support that man. And he said, I didn't do it. And he said, now it's too late.
Yeah. There
he is. Hey, folks. If he'd have done what God said he was supposed to have done, hey, folks, not only would Steve Richards have been helped, but their church would have been blessed and souls would have been put to the account of God. You say, well, preacher, we want our preacher to follow the Holy Spirit of God. Then God wants him to do that. Yes, but God said, you, it's got to become personal. What's the Spirit of God told you to do this week? Did you mark your card according to what you thought you ought to do or what the Spirit of God told you to do? Well, preacher, we can figure it out. You know, if we don't go here, we don't do that. If we cut this, we cut that. Hey, folks, God didn't want you to cut this. He didn't want you to figure it out. He wants you to be able to come by with His Spirit and say, do this, and you do that. And I got news for you, folks. If you can't follow the Spirit of God to mark this card, you're never going to follow the Spirit of God to go to the ends of the world and preach the gospel. What did I tell you before? It's teaching you how to live. Now watch this. It becomes personal. Go to Acts chapter 16. Notice what Paul shows this to us in Acts chapter number 16. You get to Acts chapter 16, notice what happens in Paul's life. I'm glad Paul was very transparent. And he goes in chapter 16, he goes out on that second missionary journey, and you know the story here. And it says in verse number 6, and now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. See how important it is that you learn how to be obedient to the Spirit? What if Paul would have went to Mysia instead of going to Macedonia? What if he'd have been, said, this is what I'm going to do. It's a prosperous place over there in Mysia. It's a prosperous place over there. I want to go over there. But the Spirit said, no, you're going to Macedonia. And when he was obedient to the Spirit of God and went to Macedonia, all those churches were started and all those people were reached and lives were changed. Why? He was obedient to the Spirit of God. And the key to missions at Bethel Baptist Church is not how much you can give, but how much obedience you are to the Holy Spirit of God when He tells you what to do. People say to me, well, preacher, I couldn't give a whole lot of money to missions. Can I just tell you how simple it is to give to missions today? People say, well, it's difficult to figure out. Well, let me just tell you how simple it is. Amen? Smile at me. You ain't going to like this. You know what, folks? After church today, you get done, and we get done with church, and you say, well, preacher, we're going to go to Bob Evans. We're going to go to someplace to get something to eat. And so you go over there and get something to eat, and these people bring you your lunch, and normally you don't know them. Amen? So when you get done, the society you and I live in says you're supposed to tip that waiter, that waitress. Well, I'm not against that. Amen? You a waitress, sis? Amen? Praise the Lord. You need to give her 20%, amen? Honey, you ain't going to like what I'm about to say, amen, but anyhow, you know, and I do that. And can I just say, don't leave a track says Bethel Baptist Church and stiff the waiters. You heathen. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? But I tell you what, you say, well, would you give her a tip, man? And they said you're supposed to leave 15% or better, amen? So I'll tell you what you do tomorrow morning when you get up at your house and you eat your breakfast. You take a dollar and you put it in a basket on your table and you say, God, here's your tip for breakfast. Thank you. And when you eat lunch tomorrow, you put another dollar in that basket and say, God, thank you for lunch. And when you eat supper tomorrow night, put another dollar in that basket and say, God, here's your tip for supper. Thank you. At the end of the week, you will have $21. At the end of the year, you can give over $1,000 to missions. Amen. And God help you that you give a waitress more than you give God. I'm not against waitresses. Amen. God help us, we give any man, woman, more than we give God. It's $3 a day. Lady handed me a thing this week. The bank figured out that in a 52-week savings plan, that if you gave, you start at week one and give a dollar, week two you give $2, you give the number of money for the week that you're on, that you get to week 52 and you give $52, you will have $1,300 in your savings account. You said, preacher, that's pretty easy. Yeah, it's pretty easy to give $1,000 to missions. And if we just get six, there's well over 100 people in this room. If we could just get two-thirds of you to take that challenge, the missions offering in this church would go up $20,000. And I get news for you, there's many of you can give more than $3 a day. If we just get 60 people to take that challenge. You say, well, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, just be obedient to the Spirit. You know what? You better watch what you tell the Spirit you can't do. I remember sitting in a service one night, and a guy was talking about God would wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray. And I said to myself, I said, you can't do that. You can't get up at 3 o'clock every morning and pray for an hour, sometimes never go back to sleep, and carry the schedule that he carries, let alone the schedule I carry. And God said, well, son, you're about to find out. And I'm here to tell you that I can count on my hands in the last 10 years that I've slept through the night, that I've not been waken up at 3 o'clock in the morning by God and the Spirit of God and pray sometimes a half hour, sometimes an hour, sometimes I never go back to sleep. And you can do it when you're obedient to the Spirit of God. God's teaching you how to live by what you give. The Spirit of God says, give $20 a week to missions. Give $100 a week to missions. You can't do that. You better be obedient to the Spirit. Yeah. It's got to become personal. It's obedience to the Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to get stuck. Preacher said we weren't due to get out of here till 1:30. Is that right? Well, I didn't get no amens. Now watch this. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and another faith by the same Spirit, and another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh the same, the one and the self same what? There's just one Spirit. And He's working in us. Notice how He said that. He kept saying, it's given by the Spirit. It's given by the Spirit. You know, I'm having trouble with that right there in the middle of that thing. It says another discerning of spirits, another diverse kinds of tongues. He's not talking about speaking in some unknown language. I wish you all can meet Justin Levine. Justin Levine's a missionary that we work with that's in the city of Kathmandu, Nepal. Him and his wife just got back there. Justin Levine speaks 15 languages. He has diverse types of tongues, amen. I'm here to tell you what, folks, he learned German when he was 14 years old because he knew God was going to call him to Germany. He was a missionary. He spoke German fluently when he graduated from high school. And then God said, no, I want you in Nepal. He can speak Greek. He can speak Hebrew. He walked down the street in Kathmandu, Nepal, and walked up to a man who's an Orthodox Jew, had the hat, had the curls, had everything, and witnessed to the man for 30 minutes in Hebrew. Amen. The Spirit gives that ability. You say, I couldn't go to the mission field. I couldn't do that. Hey, listen, you can if you're obedient to the Spirit of God. You can go by the Spirit of God. You can give by the Spirit of God. You can grow by the Spirit of God. Missions becomes personal when it's obedience to the Spirit of God. I'm looking at some people right now that you knelt right here with your kids. Now, what if God comes by and calls that kid to the mission field? He'll take as much of the Spirit of God in you to let him go as it will for them to go. Now, watch this. Go to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to try to finish sometime. Amen. Missions becomes personal. It's obedience to the Spirit. Can I tell you that missions today is very personal? It is the occupation of the saints. Go to Acts chapter 2. And in verse number 41, you know what happens to the citizen. They that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they all believed, all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of the heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what your problem is in missions and anything else with God? You think that you can come in on Sunday, and you come in on Sunday like this. You come in with all the cares of the world, and then all of a sudden you put on your Christianity. And you sit on the pew and sing a few songs and say a few prayers and listen to the preacher preach, and then you take your Christianity off and check it at the door on the way out. He said, daily. It's not just obedience to the Spirit. It is the occupation of the saints. Hey, folks, listen. It is not something you check in on Sunday and check out on Sunday night and check back in on Wednesday night. This thing of reaching the world, this thing of giving the gospel, this thing of people getting saved is what you live with every day of your life. It is not. Hey, listen, I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care if you're a carpenter. I don't care if you're a mechanic. I don't care if you're a computer expert. I don't care what you do. That is not your occupation in life. Your occupation in life is to be a witness unto Him in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that job you have is just to sustain you while you do what God told you to do. Hello? And your problem is you think that's your occupation and God's business is secondary. No, God's business is first, and your occupation comes after that just to sustain you so you can do what God's called you to do. Amen. It is your occupation. People say, well, you do missions because you're the mission director. No, I do missions because I got saved. I don't give the missions because I'm a preacher. I give missions because I got saved. When I got saved, I became obedient to the Spirit, and the Spirit said, here's the job. And can I say to you, dear saint of God, elderly, retired, there is no retirement in the work of God. I'm sick and tired of going to churches and people, gray-haired saints, come to me and say, well, preacher, we've done our part. We're going to let the kids do it. Well, bless your heart. But that ain't of God. Huh? There's no retirement in the occupation. What's your occupation in life? People said to me, well, we want real New Testament Christianity. No, you don't. Because New Testament Christianity said daily, from house to house and in the temple. They didn't just go on visitation Thursday night. They didn't just go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. They were in the temple daily. They were in people's houses daily. They were at it every day. You like your Christianity. Check it in when you want. Check it out when you don't want it. But that's not obedience to the Spirit. What are you going to do when you're on an airplane headed overseas? I took this group of guys one time over to the Philippine Islands, Brother Mel. It was fun. You ought to take 32 independent Baptist preachers on an airplane anywhere, amen? First thing that happens, we get everybody together and we're praying. And I prayed and asked the Lord to bless us and keep us safe. And I get done praying and I turned around to sit down in the seat I was sitting in. The lady sitting in the seat behind me, she said, preacher, Why is it you pray in public places and do something, you're automatically a preacher? Why didn't they just say Christian? Because you checked your Christianity out. And I said, what? She said, I need to get saved. What do I do? So the guy's with me. I said, go ahead, young teenage boy. I said, go ahead, lead that lady to the Lord. I mean, you talk about cranking up a teenager. See, he leans over the seat with the New Testament, leads this lady to the Lord. We get seatbelted in. They said, we got to take off. Sit down. We got to sit down, you know, and we get seatbelted in. We're taking off, and we were about 30 minutes into the flight, and all of a sudden I hear in the back of this plane going, "Woo!" I said, well, I know that voice. I better go back and see what's going on, amen. I come walking back through there, Brother Shell, and there sat Brother Wayne Harrison, preacher I know, and a young couple sitting beside him. There's three seats on the outside of that plane. This young couple just weeping and wailing, you know. And I said, what's going on, Brother Wayne? He said, the young couple just got saved, preacher. He said, they're on the way to their honeymoon. What a way to start out, amen. I said, well, good. I went back up and sat down, and all of a sudden from a little farther up in the plane, I heard, woo-hoo-hoo, glory. I thought, here we go again, man. See, our occupation didn't start when we got to the Philippines. The occupation started when we got there at the airport, before we got to the airport, when we got up this morning. Boy, got quiet, didn't it? It's funny, on that flight, the flight attendant come by and she said, this is the craziest thing I've been around in my life. She said, there's people crying and carrying on all over this plane. She's just, what is the deal with you guys?
Wow.
Okay. Amen. Whoop! Thought about God opening a door. Huh? I told you last night about that deal in South Africa when the plane was on fire, when they landed us back. We made it off the plane. It's easy to see. But we spent the night in that airport, in the airport lounge, that within, you know, within lounge places that all the airlines have, where you can get coffee and tea and all that stuff. And we slept, well, we didn't sleep, we just sat in a chair. But it was interesting, once we got in there, people started saying, I wonder what would have happened if the plane would have went down. Found out there was 6 missionaries on that flight. One young couple just finished their survey trip to South Africa. All of a sudden, people that didn't care about God wanted to hear about God. Next day when we got up and they said, we're going to take y'all on home, and they said, report to such and such a gate. And we got there, same flight attendants, same pilot, found out it was the same plane. They said they fixed it. So there we were in this area about as big as this building. And they were getting, so okay, we're getting ready to board this flight. And this lady said, hey, preacher, don't you think somebody ought to pray? I said, yes, ma'am. Serving God, reaching people, it is your occupation. It's not just obedience to the Spirit. It's the occupation of the saints. Don't, let me give you this. Chapter 8. Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. What happens in Acts chapter 8? Paul, and it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Look in verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what? They went everywhere looking for a job. They went everywhere looking for relief from the persecution. No, they took their occupation. See, God said, you're going to do it. And they had filled Jerusalem, the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, with their doctrine. Now he said, you're not done. You've not accomplished it. Can I tell you, Bethel Baptist Church, fill this building. But you've not accomplished all that God wants you to do. You've got to reach America. You've got to reach North America. You've got to reach Asia. You've got to reach Europe. You've got a lot more to do. And if you don't do it voluntarily, God will make you do it. You don't do it in obedience, God will make you do it in disobedience. And he put a persecution on the church of Jerusalem and forced them to fulfill their occupation. So what are you going to do? Now watch this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's obedience to the Spirit. It's the occupation of the saints. Now here's where it all gets to be fun, so smile, amen. I know what time it is. We'll get you out of here so you can beat the Methodist to the steakhouse, amen. It'll be all right. You know what, folks, in 20 years of preaching on the road, I've never got done, no matter how late it was. Went out to Golden Corral or some restaurant to eat, and there's a sign on the door that said, "You Baptists go home because the Methodists and Presbyterians ate it all." So just relax. It's all right. It is obedience to the Spirit. It is the occupation of the saints. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. And moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Missions is the obligation of the steward. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. And if you don't get nothing else I've said, I want you to get a hold of this. When you got saved, God did something. Give me your Bible, son. God did more than just save you. He handed you the mysteries of God. You say, what do you mean, the mysteries of God? Did you understand salvation before you got saved? Did you understand what it meant to be sanctified, to live right? No. It was a mystery to him. Then he got saved and the Spirit of God began to work in his heart and God gave him the mysteries of God. You think the world understands salvation? No, they don't understand salvation. They've bowed towards Mecca to pray today. They've bowed in front of some statue to pray today. Some of them are out there worshiping their gods in the middle of a field. Huh? They don't understand salvation. Salvation's a mystery to them. Let alone to live right, be right, act right. It's all a mystery to them. And God has made us the stewards of the mysteries of God. We're the Josephs of the New Testament. It's not ours. It's the ruler of the kingdom. What we have is not ours, but he's made us stewards of it that we use it properly, wisely. And he said, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, what kind of a steward would Joseph have been if he'd have took all that and hoarded it all up and just kept it for himself? What's the Bible say about Joseph? You go back to Genesis and read that story of Joseph. He said, Joseph looked at him and said, "Hey, God has done this." He said, "He has put me in this place to preserve you alive." Why? Because he was in charge of it? No, because he was steward of it. God has made you stewards of the mysteries of God to preserve a life for this world. And are you doing your stewardship? See, I go back to this card again. Y'all think I'm a broken record, I know. But this is teaching you stewardship. Yes. Stewardship of material things. Because you're a steward of spiritual things. Hello? If you can't do this one, I guarantee you, you're not going to do this one. And how can you? Let me ask you a question. How can you? I mean, listen, these young people sitting here, I bought some things, gave some money. I went home with a bag of cookies and something that cost me $40. I'm thinking, I could go down to the Giant Eagle and buy that same mess for $4 or $5. But I didn't care. If it gets you to a youth conference and God would call you to the mission field, I've become a steward of what God has given me. Hello? So I didn't do it grudgingly. I didn't do it because I had to. I could have walked out of here night after night and never felt guilty about not buying any of it. In fact, I didn't need to buy any of it. I mean, if I'm buying much more of it, I'm going to have to get bigger suits. Amen. You didn't have to say amen right there. It's enough. He was telling me about how his suit collection has had increased, not just in number, but in size since he got married. Amen. But you know what we are? We've become fat spiritually. You realize how many people in this world can't hear what you just heard today? God said, I've made you stewards of it. You know, it's a sad testimony for America when the average American home has at least three Bibles in it, when there's 7,000 tribes that never even have one word of the Word of God. How can we say we're stewards of the mysteries of God when your neighbors never heard? I'm thinking about you, Brother David. God's put you in that place of leadership in that business. I've been praying for you for the last 2 days. The influence you can have, not just on the employees, but every person that comes in there and buys a vehicle. He's made you steward of the mysteries of God. Why has God put you as a youth director, Brother Shell? Because he's found you a faithful steward of the mysteries of God that you can give it to these young people. We got quiet. Why would God allow you to teach this? Because you're such a talented teacher. Well, yeah, but because he found you faithful. The steward of the mysteries of God to impart that, not just physical, worldly knowledge to young people, but the mysteries of God. How does God teach us to be faithful? Right there. It becomes my obligation, not just my occupation, not just obedience to the Spirit, but my obligation. What did Paul say? He said, we're debtors to them. Are you paying your debt? Are you paying your debt by handing out a tract? Are you paying your debt by inviting somebody to church? Somebody asked me, he said, why do you have such a heart for young people? Because when I was 16 years old, a man looked across the table, had a heart for me, come to my house, pick me up. I'm a debtor. I want to be a faithful steward. What God's called me. Missions must become personal. It must be obedience to the Spirit. It must be the occupation of the saint. And it must be the obligation of the steward. Look at this and I'm done. Go to Luke chapter number 16. You know one day, folks, what's God going to do to us one day? Luke chapter 16. I want you to think about your life right now. In verse 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Give an account of thy stewardship. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? God has given to us the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And we're to be stewards of that. And one of these days we're going to stand before God and give an account of our stewardship. May it not be accused of us to God that we wasted what God gave us. I mean, folks, listen, how can you have, the Bible says, how can, over there, he says, how can you have that what your brother needs and then shut up your bowels of compassion and not give him what he needs? You're wasting it. Hey, folks, many of you are going to go home today and shut down and turn on the TV and waste your afternoon doing nothing. You're going to waste your stewardship. You're going to miss church tonight. You're going to miss church Wednesday night. You're not going on visitation. You're going to miss the opportunity God gives you to hand out a tract to witness to somebody. You're going to waste your stewardship. Waste the goods that God has given you. I'll never forget when I was in Lisbon, Ohio. As youth director there for one short year, I met a man named Dennis House. Dennis House was in a wheelchair when I met him at 16 years old. Dennis got on fire for God, man. He said, "Preacher, let's go visit him." I'd get him and I'd wheel him up and down the streets of Lisbon, Ohio, and he'd hand out tracts and read this and tell you how to go to heaven when you die. We'd go to the Columbiana County Fair. And he'd go up and down, we'd wheel him up and down the aisles of those fair booths, and he'd hand out tracts and said, "Here, read this and tell you how to go to heaven when you die." I left there and went to West Virginia, pastored a church for 12 years, started a deputation, called the church there at Lisbon. In fact, they called me and they said, "Brother, we heard what you're doing. Why don't you come back and tell the church?" I pulled in there that night to tell the church, and pastor said, "Now, Brother Morrison, before you set up your display, before you do anything," he said, "there's somebody who wants to talk to you." He said, "Go back there in the learning center at the Christian school." I walked in there, and there sat a grown man in a wheelchair. It was Dennis House. He got out of high school, went to Bible college, got a degree, was teaching in the Christian school. He said, "Preacher, I never got over what God did in my life." He became a steward. What will you do? Will you be obedient to the Spirit? Will you take your occupation serious? Will you fulfill your obligation as a steward? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Pray you bless our day for you. Pray that you'd take this message today and use it for your honor and glory. Lord, I know we've already had one invitation. You've done wondrous things, but Lord, now we pray you do greater things than that.